There we go. Tonight we have so much to want to share with you. So excited. We're on the eve of the new. Really, that's really the title of today's lesson tonight is the eve of the new. With us being able to launch these new family groups. But it's also a special day, which is Juneteenth. It's a special day for Americans, and there's no way for me to like mix Juneteenth and what it means, as well as talk about family groups and internal things at the same time. But I definitely didn't want to gloss over it either. I really wanted to take a moment to just acknowledge today and just the power and the magnitude that comes from this day, right? It's a powerful reminder of resilience and strength and a journey for equality, right? For all Americans, justice for all, right? It's a symbol that represents the end of slavery in the United States. It's also a day of reflection on the struggles and achievements, of African Americans, and so it's not something, I know it's relatively new for our country to acknowledge. But I know even within the church, there's always that challenge, right? To how do you find that balance? And so I wanted to acknowledge that and acknowledge the significance of this day, and just also to take a moment to pray as we begin again this new chapter in our church as well. So join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. As you have been always watchful of your creation. You've seen great days with us, and you've seen some bad days with us. Father, as we sit here on Juneteenth and have a public acknowledgement of the end of slavery and just the horrificness of that, God, we also, as Americans, can also celebrate the victories and the achievements as well. God, I know that so many slaves, they died as slaves, but many of them were died in you, Father. And so to know that in Christ, there is a freedom that goes well beyond this world. And so for us today, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can celebrate that fact, God, and knowing that your son died on a cross for us, God, and that we accepted him as Lord of our life, and that we get to experience a freedom from the spiritual bondage that Satan has had on all of us. And so I pray for all of us that the victories and the achievements and the memory and the history, all of these things, I pray brings us to you, Father, because you are the answer to every question that this world has to ask. But Father, again, we thank you. We pray that the Spirit will continue to inspire us, even tonight as we talk about just being on the eve of the new. And I pray that the Spirit will speak through us powerfully, that hearts will be excited about what's to come, Father, and that we'll be prepared to deal with any challenge that comes our way because we know that you're with us. We thank you so much again, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, again, let me share my screen here 1 second before we get going. All right, we got this. So I'll have to deal with that. All right, so today, like I said, we are on the eve of the new, right? Westchester is about to, we're closing out, all of our family groups tonight for those who haven't signed up yet. And what it represents, right? And so we want to take some time to talk about this, but I'm always remiss that when we are at these different stages for us to be able to look at the scriptures, right? Where is this inspirations coming from? Where is the vision coming from, right? Because we can have great dreams and thoughts in our hearts, but if they're not centered on scripture, if they're not inspired by the Spirit, then we don't want that. We don't want to be a part of something that is not Spirit-led, that it's not, founded in the scriptures. And so I wanted to take some time to just kind of dive into it and just to kind of remind us where all this is from. And even talk about how it would be for some of the disciples on the eve of their great events, right? Because there's multiple times in the scriptures where we see the disciples or even men and women from the Old Testament, they were at the cusp of something special happening. Right. And so being able to kind of examine their hearts and kind of see where are we in that, right? Because we're about to embark on something special as well. And so that's what tonight is really going to be focused on. So let me go ahead and advance my slide here. So looking back, right? Again, I talked about looking back because a lot of times I want to be able to reference where things have been, right? We know as a church, there's a whole bunch of history there, but specifically for Westchester, I want to take a look back, right? Because we began the year with some goals, right? And one of those goals was to establish new family groups. And we're right there. We're just, a few hours away from this being realized, right? And so this is an amazing thing, right? It took, for us to get to this point, it took a lot of prayer and a lot of planning, a lot of hours of planning and talking through things and asking the what ifs, right? But we're praying about these things and we're presenting it before God, and there's an excitement that's being built up as we continue to talk about this, right? And so I wanted to kind of paint that picture for you because we're going to look at in the scriptures, in the book of Acts, how the disciples were at the cusp of something that was about to happen as well, right? And so we're going to go ahead and look in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verses 12 and 14, it reads, "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those that are present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James and Alphaeus, and Simon and Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Now, in chapter one, prior to this moment, chapter one, Jesus was with the disciples. He's with the apostles. And this is the resurrected Christ. This is after the resurrection. He spends 40 days with them. And in that time, he spoke about the kingdom of God, right? And not only did he speak about the kingdom of God, he told them, he gave them a command. He said, to stay here, stay in Jerusalem, because the Holy Spirit is going to come, right? And I want you to be my witnesses, he says. I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, as well as, I believe it was one more space he told them to go to. I can't remember. I know it was Judea and I know it was Jerusalem, but he gives them this charge to wait for the Spirit, right? Because the Holy Spirit is coming and something is going to happen. Right, some event is going to take place, and so when I think about it, I look to them and I wonder, man, what were the disciples thinking? Because we know we could cheat and we can go to chapter two and know that that big event was the day of Pentecost, right? And so all thousands of disciples converted to Christ, like the church just explodes. But they don't know that they're at the eve of this, and so I ask myself, man, what were the disciples thinking? How were they feeling hearing what they've heard from Christ, right? They may be nervous, right? They may be nervous about what's to come, right? There may be some fear, right? Rightfully so. Not knowing, the unknown could be pretty scary, there could be excitement as well. Like it could be a whole gambit of feelings, right? And so sometimes I know, for me personally, I know that when I come to like the eve of something, especially in my mind, if I consider it a big thing, that I would feel a bit nervous, and I'll share with you full transparency. Coming into this year in January, Shayla and I, we were in the cabin, away to bring in the New Year's. We were down in Georgia. And there was a moment where it kind of hit me, like, Okay, we're about to come into this year. Sam is gone on a sabbatical with Cynthia, and it's just me and you, Shayla, right? Like, that's it. It's us, right? And so there was some nervousness that kind of kicked in. I could feel the butterflies, kind of swirling around in my stomach because I'm like, man, this is such a great responsibility that we're being entrusted, right? Like is, I know that the elders and our senior leadership, our core team, I know they all prayed about this and they were assured that we would be able to rise to the occasion. But I asked myself, like, man, it's, I what did they was this the right decision? Like, was it the right decision to come to New York? Was it the right decision for us to come in at this point? And so I just kind of put myself where I think the disciples were at the eve of something new, right? And just seeing and trying to understand that whole experience of being in that space. But the thing that I want to highlight in all of this is right here in verse 14. It says they all join together constantly in prayer. And brothers and sisters, if that doesn't do it for you, then I don't know what does, right? Like when we're afraid or we're uncertain of the next chapter or what's coming up next, like prayer is the grounder. It's the thing that we can bring all of our angst and all of our, uncertainties, and we could just leave it at Jesus' feet. We could just leave it there. We don't have to carry it with us, right? And so the disciples, presumably right here, it says that they all join together constantly in prayer. And so for Shayla and I, we definitely spent tons of time praying about this, the eve of what's about to take place, right? The leaders, that we sat and planned through this, yeah, there was a lot of prayer, right? And there was a lot of questions, but in the end, we left it in God's hand. And we said, okay, God, here's where you seem like you're taking us, and we're gonna trust you. We're gonna trust the process. We're gonna trust what we see in scripture, that this could be very similar to that. And so we're gonna go forward, and we're gonna, trust what we're seeing and what we're gonna experience. I think about Isaiah chapter 40, verses 31. This is the theme of verse that we had for the beginning of the year. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. And the thing about this scripture, in order for eagles to soar, they gotta leave the nest. They gotta leave the nest, right? To be able to experience the whole world in their under their wings, they gotta leave what's comfortable. They gotta leave what's challenging. They gotta leave what even this may be fearful, right? Because that's the only way they're gonna be able to experience the whole world just flowing through their wings and through their feathers. And so this is the imagery that I anticipate the disciples had, and Mary and the others that were with him, his brothers that were all with them. Like, they were at the eve of this, and perhaps this was this. Like, okay, I sense it coming. I think this is the big thing that Jesus kept talking to us about, right? And so this is what I envision and what I see and what I believe is where we're all gonna be. Let me switch over here. In Acts 2:42, now that we have the day of Pentecost have taken place, the Holy Spirit has come. And an explosion of growth has taken place within the church, right? We read that in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and that many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, the one thing about this transition, right? Remember, they were on the eve of something great. The great thing began, and here they are, right? Kind of like day one. And what I find in the scripture is that each man and woman decided for themselves that they were going to come, that they were going to be a part of these things, that they devoted themselves. The new chapter, each disciple decide among themselves internally, not from the pulpit, not you know, pressures from their peers. I don't read that, right? I see that men and women made decisions, and those decisions, right, were centered on what they believed Christ has already taught them, right? It was centered on the excitement. It was centered on the promises, right? And so those decisions, though, that was the motivating factor, that they devoted themselves to these things. And because they made these decisions, because they devoted themselves not to, not yes, to the devoted to the apostles' teachings, but really to God, because they committed themselves to these things, the scripture shows that God had blessed it, right? It said the result of all that was that God added to their numbers. And again, what I love about this reminder, especially now that we're about to, you know, launch these new family groups, is that the energy, the mechanics, the dues wasn't about evangelism. It wasn't about go and meet these numbers and you are charged to make this happen, right? No, they devoted to themselves to the things that matter, right? And God saw that, and the results of that was God adding to their numbers. And so this is why it was so important for the disciples then to make that decision, right? Each and every one of them, right? As individuals who were a part of the church, they made the decision to devote themselves to these things. And because they did that, God has shown up and shown out with them.
Yeah. And Kenson and I were talking about this scripture. What I love, and even just now, just looking at it, is in verse 42. When, as we go on, it's the they devoted. Verse 43, everyone was filled. Verse 44, all the believers. Verse 45, they sold. Verse 46, they every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread. And I love the they in this. When Kenson and I were talking, that it wasn't talking about just the 12 apostles, right? Before this, 3,000 were added to their number. So imagine, this is the they're talking about, the everyone they're talking about, the all the believers that they're talking about, was 3,000 plus people that individually made a decision, a commitment to these things, right? When I think about just the commitment to the fellowship, right? And like they all understood that it's not just like a solo act, right? It wasn't just about showing up. It wasn't just about casual socialization. It was a deep spiritual connection that they were devoted to amongst each other, right? The breaking of prayer. They're devoted to sharing meals and reminding each other about this good news. The devotion to prayer is the anchor for their souls, that each person's dedication contributed, right, to the church thriving spiritually and in numerically. And I love, when we're talking about that, I love, like it wasn't dependent upon Peter and the 12 apostles. Every single body, no matter if, here when we talk about our community, no matter if you're leading or you're not leading, no matter if you're, single or if you're married or if you're a teen or if you're young or if you're old, like no matter where you're at, it was the collective community that made this decision to be committed to these things. And like for me, it was like, I felt like God, like reading these scriptures, like God was just really encouraging my soul that no matter where I'm at in life, no matter where each of us is, like God wants to use us and the seeds that were planted by those 3,000+ people that after that day.
And so, looking ahead, right? Again, Shayla and I, we're there. Like we're locked in. You're not getting rid of us. We're here in Westchester. We have great vision and excitement about what's to come. And so we're there. We made that decision. We're not looking back. We're not, wondering how the grass is growing in Georgia or anything like that. Like we're here, we're locked in. We want to be a part of what we believe God is doing right here in Westchester, right? And it's not just Shayla and I, but the leadership here are on board. They're excited about this next chapter. The many hours we spent planning and praying about these things, and again, questions are being asked, and let's sit down and let's work it out, right? But then in the end, there is a collective agreeance and assurance, right, that we're on board. And not only just the leadership, but even the new family group leaders, like talking to some of them, they're excited. They can't wait to just get a bite of that sandwich and run, right? Because it's refreshing. It's refreshing to be able to kind of see some things from a different perspective. And so with that, we want everyone to experience that, right? We want everyone to feel like, you know what? I am a part of this, regardless of title, regardless of history, regardless of anything else, that man, I want to be a part of what's happening, and then we want everyone to be there as well. So when we're looking ahead, right? And I believe I shared this with the church already, but I wanted just to, again, just bring it before you again, right? What is it as a church, as a region, I should say, within this church, what are the three things that we want to commit ourselves to, right? Now, there's a bunch of things that we can do for a church to be a thriving church, right? But we're just picking three, right? First and foremost, a commitment to God, right? And what I mean by commitment to God, it's a commitment to His Word, right? As we're studying out, we spent the first, I believe, the first 3, 4 months looking at Ezra and Nehemiah and just watching them dive into their relationship with God and just really eating up what it meant to commit themselves to Christ and resetting their hearts on God, right? Then we have a commitment to His heart. When I say commitment to God, I'm talking about a commitment to His heart. What is God's heart in the matter, right? What is God's heart? That's us as a church seeking and committing ourselves to finding that out, right? When I say commitment to Christ, well, we're talking about the commitment to the life that He led, right? He led a life for us to imitate. Now, we're not going to be spitting images of him. We're not going to be exactly in full step of everything that he's done, but we're going to strive. We're going to commit ourselves to the life that he lived, right? We're going to commit ourselves to the mission he started, right? Like that was his mission. He told disciples in Matthew 28:18 to go and make disciples of all nations. He told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, go throughout Jerusalem to be my witnesses, right? And so we're going to be committed to his mission, right? And then when we talk about a commitment to community, we're talking about his church, right? His church locally and globally, right? That a commitment to that. And then a commitment to the outside of the church, right? When we talk about community, we're talking about not just inside of our family groups, we're also talking about non-believers, right? Being engaged in the community in service projects or meeting people where they are, right? Because maybe today they're not open, but tomorrow they may be open. But we're going to still engage and build relationships with those outside of our community. So again, if we're committed to these three things, and again, I said there's multiple things we can do to be committed to it. If this these three things that if we're committed to it, in increasing measure, then surely we can reflect the thriving church that started with Christ, right? That's where we're driving. And again, more and more will be unveiled as we continue to move through the years. But right now, this is where we believe the Spirit is taking us, and we're trying to be lock in step with it. So I want to transition a little bit here. And I want to give you a visual, right? Because again, I talked about the three things that we're going to be committed to, which is God, Christ, and the community. Now, for the community piece, This is one way that we're going to show our commitment, right? We have new family groups, right? And of course, with these on the left side, you see all the new family groups that we have established, and on the right is the map, right? And in the map, all those different points represents different households within that makes up the Westchester Church. And as you can see, there's a strong concentration in the South, like the Yonkers and Bronx and New Rochelle, but then we got folks as far north as Dutchess County, right? And so clearly there's so much to be reached, right? And we're starting off with these new family groups strategically placed in the towns that we're in, right? Now, of course, we only have 16 family groups, right? But there's tons of more places where we can be. But right now we only could do what we can, right? And so we have these 16 established, and hopefully the goal is that we'll continue to grow. Right, that as we're committing ourselves to God, we're committing ourselves to Christ, we're locked in and engaged, and we're growing in an increasing measure, not just numerically, but maturely, spiritually, that as we're growing, that God is going to add to our numbers, and he's going to create new opportunities for us to have more family groups in those areas that we do not have now. Right? So that's the hope. That's the vehicle in which we're going to try to be committed in the community of Westchester. Now, talk about the why, right? Why are we doing family groups by where we live versus stay with what we already had? Well, again, previously the groups were set up when we were during COVID, during the pandemic. So of course, it didn't matter where you live. Anybody can join any group. It could be as large as 30 because we're all meeting on Zoom. But now we're a couple of years removed from COVID, and we're now able to be in communion with one another, physically be engaged and re-engage ourselves back into the community. And so that created the opportunity for us to have small groups in the different areas of where we live. That way, we have more opportunity we have more opportunities to engage the outside community. We have opportunities for new relationships to be established within our groups, that it created more opportunities for leadership to grow. Because of course, with so many people, you're going to need more leaders. And so having these groups based on where you live helps not only stay in line with the commitment to community, but it also created these different opportunities for growth and leadership, again, to engage in new relationships, and as well as being able to engage the outside community. So how should these groups function, right? Because again, we had groups based on Zoom, which will have a different function than groups that are now fully engaged and fully equipped in person. So these groups should function in really two places or two ways. One, it should be a group that engages one another in life. And I'm gonna go ahead and let's Shayla talk more about that.
Yeah. So when I think about like a family, like the past family groups that I felt like was an incredible for us when a couple of family groups in Georgia, or I even think about what I would imagine as a thriving family group, small group, whatever you want to call it, here, looking forward, I thought about when Kenson and I were talking, these one another scriptures, these one another relationships. The word one another occurs 100 times in the New Testament, and 59 of those times, it's a specific command teaching us how to relate to one another. And so I just want to share with you just a couple of the scriptures, and I could share this on the Zoom, like the specific scriptures, but love one another, be devoted to one another, honor one another above yourselves, live in harmony with one another, build up one another, spur one another towards love and good deeds, admonish one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another, be patient with one another, be kind and compassionate to one another, teach one another, comfort one another, Encourage one another. Show hospitality to one another. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Do not slander one another. Pray for one another. Confess your sins to one another. And I think about when I, if imagine if our groups obey these commands, these one another commands. And you know why? It's not because, you know, to get brownie points or whatever, but because for me, it's like, I truly believe that we are all members of one body. And how would I, you know, love my body, love myself? I think about the greatest command, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love each other as yourself. You know, when I think about these, all these love one another commands, that's really what I think about how we can, how we should, you know, engage in our family groups, in our small groups, and just really striving to, you know, hold on to these commands.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so that's what it's looked like. That's what, how a family group should function in Westchester, right? That it's the one another. It's the engaging in the life. It's the iron sharpening iron, right? Like those are the things that I, you know, we envision when it talks about these small groups. You know, another thing is that the small groups should it should be a group that engages the outside community, right? So yeah, there's an internal piece, right? There's an internal piece where we're working, where we're helping one another to grow and mature and help them to work through things in life. But it should also be something that it goes outside as well, right? That it's a group that's one inviting people to be a part of it, right? To join your Bible discussions, right? Or it's a group that engages the community, right? Whether it's a service project, whether it's ways to serve a need in a neighborhood, or things that you become aware of. It's things that you could do that's fun, of course, obviously. Like there's so many opportunities if we're aligning and filtering our eyes in our groups with this, just these two guidelines, that it should be a group that engages one another in life, and it should also be a group that engages the outside community, right? And these are the things that I believe, again, will take the microcosm of our church and really permeate throughout the church, right? Because it's a focus, and it's exciting, it's engaging, it's something that we're going to be able to take part in and be able to witness the victories that God will bring within these family groups here in Westchester. And so I want to give you guys just a sneak peek, right, of our calendar. We're going to have the calendar late sent out to you very soon that has the rest of the year. But I want to give you a sneak peek, because as we're at the cusp of these family groups launching, I want to also give you a heads up that, you know, our format's going to change a bit, right? And so as we're engaging the summer months, right, we want to try to maximize the opportunity for these new groups to get to know each other, to be able to create, you know, opportunities and memories for each other, and to be able to get out without having scheduling conflicts with the church, right? And so July, I'm giving you a sneak peek of what July looks like, right? So in July, obviously the first week of July, there's no midweek, right? So the first, you know, that's 4th of July week, you know, there's no midweek. The second week is women's midweek, right? Now the third midweek is going to be family group week. And what that means is there's not going to be anything, you know, we don't have any midweeks on Wednesday. So the family groups, you guys can decide, hey, this is going to be this one of these days this week, we'll be able to get together, right? The following week is men's midweek. And then after that, again, it's family group midweek.
Yeah. And I just want to emphasize, just for the family group weeks, it's the week. So even though we have it on the 17th and the 31st, you could pick any day. You know, we just so that people could see. So we won't have midweek, but you could pick any day in that week, you know, to decide to meet in your family groups.
Yep. So that's kind of where this is where we are going. And so this is going to be the schedule for July and August. And then as we get into the the cooler part of year, there'll be some adjustments there. But for the summer, you know, this is what we're working with, and that will allow you and the family groups to have opportunities to set up times to meet.
Yep. And the full calendar will be out on Sunday, June 30th. So everybody will get the calendar for the rest of 2024.
Yeah. And also one note to make, just so everybody's clear. So tonight is our last like Zoom midweek, all church midweek. So after this, then I think next week is I think is where I think is men's midweek. It's men's midweek, and then we start this calendar. So we won't be on Zoom midweek until somewhere in the fall. So just so everybody can visually understand what's happening. So go ahead and prepare to close out here. So again, the excitement, the eve of the new, we're right on it. We're right on the cusp of it. But I want to bring us back to this, that we should always be in prayer about the things that we're about to get engaged in. And all definitely now, just like the disciples were up in the upper room, they were all praying, they were getting ready for what was to come. I'm asking everyone to do the same, right? Take some time this week to pray specifically about this new chapter, right? That God is allowing us to experience, that He is with us in the steps that we're taking, right? Let us continue to trust, right? Because again, sometimes when you have changes, the temptation is to not trust what's going to happen because it doesn't quite look like what it used to be, right? And so pray not only for our trust, right? But pray for your brothers and sisters that we're trusting God, that we're trusting the Holy Spirit. And guess what? If it doesn't work out, God is still there.
Amen.
He's okay.
Yes.
He'll be able to help us through it. It's all right. But we want to be able to trust because we don't want anything to hinder or we don't want to forfeit what God may already have in store for us simply because we're not trusting. So continue to pray for trust. And also, let's continue to thrive. Right. Let's continue grow in measurements. Right. Again, not just numbers, but grow in our own individual walk with God, growing in our understanding, growing in our loving, growing in all the different things that we see in Christ. Let us continue to thrive in those steps. That's the call that I'm having for everyone tonight. Again, just to remind you. That the family group will lock out at 11:59 p.m.
Sign
tonight.
up.
The sign up, excuse me, the sign up will close at 11:59 tonight. So after we're done here tonight and we're all signed off, you can go back in and go ahead and sign up if you haven't had a chance to do so. Again, to get there, just go on our church website and just click on the link, the sign up link, and it'll take you directly to the page where all the family groups are. And you can go ahead and choose a group because there are some slots available in I believe in the majority of those groups. There's some slots left. So go ahead and fill that out. And if you're having any issues, just reach out to your current family group leader and they'll be able to walk you through or assist you in any way. Again, brothers and sisters, thank you so much. I'm super excited. We're excited about what's to come and just looking forward to experiencing these victories with all of you.